9 through 13 and then 18 through 26. The gospel reads, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and the sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said, 'It is not healthy who need it is not the healthy who need a doctor.'" My screen went blank. Give me a moment. "But the sick, and go and learn what this means. 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.' While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, 'My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live.' Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him, touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, 'If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed.' Jesus turned and saw her. 'Take heart, daughter,' he said, 'your faith has healed you.' But the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, 'Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand. And she got up. News of this spread through all of the region. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are grateful for the way that you continue to touch folks in the world today. Touch us now through your Holy Spirit so our hearts will be open to hear your word in spite of my voice. And may we move into this time knowing that his hand is upon us. Your hand is upon us. We pray this in the name of the one who died for our sins, the Christ. Amen. Touch is one of the most important things you can do. And not so long ago, we were encouraged not to touch each other, but not to even be closer than 6 feet away from each other. It put a big divide on how people experienced community and experienced God. It takes faith, and it took a lot of faith that we were going to come out on the other side of that. And not everyone came out on the other side of that without bumps, bruises, scars, and blemishes. I personally buried folks from my congregations because of the way that the virus had touched them. One family, it was a mother, a father, and a son-in-law, all within 2 weeks of each other. But it takes faith. It takes faith to move out of those places. Today, it helps if I have the Bible and not the hymnal. Let me try that again. Today, I have a moment of faith to remind you of all the way back at the beginning that was important in the life of not only the Jewish people, but the Muslim people and the Christian people. Hear these words from Genesis 12, 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's home to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse. And by you, all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75. Did you hear that number? That's our senior citizens, folks. 75 years old when he departed the land of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions, which they had gathered, and the persons that they had gotten in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. You see, it took faith to get up and go. And it took faith a few years ago to make it through that time period, but now we are here in another time period. And we are called to people to be part of our community. The scripture today from Matthew reminds us of people who need to be part of our community, the community of faith. Now realize Jesus lived a life where he lived it, not in the church, not in the synagogue, although he was Jewish, he was a rabbi, but the most people that he met were not in the building. They were in the community. And he drew them because of how he loved others. How he loved others. So he meets Matthew, the tax collector. Now, there's one thing that we have that is sure of in life, right? Death and taxes. We all experience them. But the thing is, at that time, tax collectors set their own fees to earn their living being a tax collector. So some of them, they put on a good hefty fee. Not a fair fee, but a hefty fee. And so tax collectors were despised. The Pharisees see that Jesus is hanging out with the tax collectors because it's a sinful thing to steal from others, yes? Yes? Okay. So while he's doing this, he has an opportunity to minister to the sinners by breaking bread with them, sitting down in their neck of the woods, Matthew's house. Matthew's house. He's meeting people right where they are. Oh, that's good news. Okay. Well, those Pharisees, why are you with sinners? Why are you eating with them of all things? Why are you paying attention to these folks? Well, in the meantime, there's a father. And this father is a rabbi. And he comes to Jesus. And while he was there, he came in and he kneels before Jesus. Now think about what kneeling before somebody means. One, you know, it could be begging, right? Two, what do you do before a ruler, like a king or a queen or a lord? You, if you're a girl, curtsy, bow, and or kneel. Just like when you are ordained, you don't do it standing. You come before God and you kneel. Because at that moment, that stole is placed on your shoulders and around your neck, you are being yoked to God. This week, 3 new people were yoked to God in the United Methodist Church of Western Pennsylvania. That's good news. That means people are still being called into ordained ministry. But there's even better news. Through faith, this man, this father, knows that Jesus is Lord. So he's down on his knees. Please, Jesus, if you just but lay a hand on her, I know she will come back to life. I know that she will live. Now, there's more to it than that, and I'll share that in a minute. But then there's this other woman as he's on his way. She's considered unclean because she's hemorrhaging. She has female problems. And anytime you hemorrhage like that or any form of blood, you're considered unclean. So she would have been a social outcast and she would not have been able to participate in the community for years upon years upon years. Could you imagine being made to feel so unwelcome in the house of the Lord that you couldn't come in because you're one of them? You're unclean. And but faith, she reaches out and touches just the hem of Jesus' cloak. Now, not only is she unclean, but she touched a man. Two things that should have, by law, gotten her killed. They could have stoned her right then and there. But Jesus does something different and welcomes her into the fold and recognizes the faith that she has in here. Those seeds had already been planted. that she's made clean. Instantly. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, that's great, that happened way back then. That doesn't happen today. Well, folks, I can tell you that things like that happen today. That there are still miracles that the Holy Spirit is working through people. One, and I, as you know, I'm getting ready to have surgery. And in 2017, I had a surgery that developed a hematoma and was just seeping like crazy, and I was still in seminary. It was horrible. But I knew if I could get to that holy ground at the seminary, I knew that things would change. Two of my professors prayed over me, and I instantly quit seeping. And I have seen others be healed of leg problems that they've had for years. You see, prayer and faith, they go hand in hand. And while the posture that we have for praying, because we always see the praying hands, right? But what if your posture was like this? That we as sinners, because let's face it, you know, those tax collectors, I'm no better than a tax collector. And neither is anybody else. What if we went handing over our wants, our needs, our sins to the Lord? I mean, that's how we hand things to people, right? What if we, as praying, had our hands ready to receive as well? Allow him to touch you, me, and plant those seeds into this fertile soil, because the soil that God has planted, that he created, what did he say it was? It was good. It was good. And when the fall of human beings happened through Adam and Eve, he still loved us anyway. And he loves us today. So much so that we are reminded by Paul in Romans 4, 13 through 25, these words. The promise to Abraham and his descendants that they should inherit the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Oh, the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. But that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God, in whom he believed. And he gives life to the dead and calls into the existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, And he should become the father of so many nations as he's been told. So shall the descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead. Remember, he was 75. He was about 100 years old or so when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Did you hear that? Remember, he became a father at 100. Folks, that's a miracle. And it's a miracle that Sarai, was able to bear a child and raise a child, that they raised the child on top of all of that. Where'd that come from? Hope. Faith. He left Tehran, Iran, and came to where Israel is today, Canaan. Think about that faith in the journey he had, where he sowed seeds there as well. Folks, it's time to get planting. It's time that we are touched not only by him, that we allow that seed, the opportunity to grow right here in our hearts. And then we allow that seed to grow out in the community. Because we've been changed through the hope and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what righteousness is. Not somebody saying, you can't do that. Well, God said I could. What's God saying you can do today? Let's pray. Lord, continue to touch us, to live into us, and the hope and in the desires we have. We pray this today, Lord Jesus, that they're not our desires, but your desires. That we don't get so caught up on legalism and forget who you have called us to make disciples of all people. Help us to live into the faith. Help us to see the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.